Welcome to A Pastoral Approach, a site of blogs and podcasts intended to help you grow and be strengthened in the one true faith of Jesus Christ as we approach the day of His coming. We trust the Lord will add His blessing to this, the teaching of His most holy word.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 45th chapter. Hear it again. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I've grasped, to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards and secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does these things. As for the text. My dear friends in Christ, Cyrus was the big bad wolf, almost literally. The king of the Persian Empire, he could huff and he could puff and he could blow your whole kingdom down. Although sometimes it didn't even take that much. Sometimes it was just his wholesale slaughter of a neighboring area to make kings and governors defect to his side, selling out and betraying their own land. That's how Cyrus actually conquered Babylon. So Cyrus was what we would call a big baddie. And Cyrus also, he had a god that he worshipped. That god's name was Marduk. Now Marduk was a powerful god. He was the bull calf of the sun god. And in the pantheon of the Asian gods, there weren't many stronger. So Cyrus often looked to the helpful, destructive nature of Marduk and let him win the battles for him. He had statues formed of Marduk, and they would process with these statues before in battle, much as we process in with the cross in the sanctuary. Cyrus was, by all accounts, not a good guy. He was dangerous, he was vengeful, he was murderous, and he was the Lord's Messiah. No joke. That's what the word anointed means in the text. Mashiach, Messiah, the Lord's anointed. Now, it doesn't mean that Cyrus is the one in whom we find eternal life. That's certainly Jesus. But as the only non-Jew in the entire scriptures to be referred to as the Lord's anointed, despite his dangerousness, we actually this morning must see Cyrus also as a type of Christ for us. But how can this be? Why would our Lord use such an awful man to show us Jesus? Why would he use a man who made use of violence and exile and slaughter and theft to show us Jesus? Because our Lord is God. And he is in charge of all things and of all peoples and of all governments. Our Lord uses Cyrus today, just as he used Caesar, to demonstrate God's authority and power. Now, certainly, God could merely speak a word, and all things would be done. The exile that the Lord promised the Jews in payment for their disobedience and idolatry is coming. But the Lord could have just as easily blown upon them and pushed them into foreign lands like he did at the Tower of Babel. The Lord didn't need to use a man to accomplish his purposes, but that's exactly what he chose to do. He used Cyrus as an instrument, a tool, and a tool for what? Well, in Isaiah 44, we actually find the answer. Our Lord desires his people to repent. God reminds his people that he has blotted out their transgressions as a cloud does the sky. The people of Israel and Judah for the Lord are his servants, and he desires to keep them close to him. But they keep refusing to return. They keep refusing to repent. They whore after false gods. They go after the Baals and the Bells, the Marduks and the Molechs. And God has had enough. He desires them to repent. And to get them to do so, he is going to use Cyrus. Why Cyrus? Because he's the man with a plan. Specifically, a plan from God. In fact, God confused Cyrus's diviners and wise men in such a way that they would tell Cyrus to take Jerusalem and all of its people into exile. God used these pagans to actually confirm the word of Isaiah and to show his people that God means business. And so God is going to give to Cyrus the largest empire that the world had ever seen up to this point, in order to show them that he means business. Our God is going to use Cyrus to destroy the city of Jerusalem. People will die. People will starve. And some people will never see their homes again. And why does God do that? Does he hate his people? Does he not care about his people? Does God have a case of divine schadenfreude, where we find joy in other people's suffering? Of course not. God uses this evil man and his evil actions to move his people to repentance. And ultimately they do repent. And Cyrus will even help the Jews return to their homeland to rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple so that the people of God can worship their God. Cyrus is a tool. He's only a tool. And that tool is in God's hands. And so it is still today. God uses men, good and evil, according to our eyes, to do his work in the world. Again, we call this vocation. God serves people through vocation. And we pray for good things. We pray that all people would do God's work of love and service to our neighbors through our hands and through the hands of all men. But things don't always go as they planned, right? I mean, let's talk about government. We're talking about Cyrus, an emperor, a king. Let's talk about our government. Because things don't always go as planned, that's why a lot of people think President Obama is an awful president and that he's messed everything up, and perhaps they're right. But for that same reason, so many people think that President Bush was an awful president and that he messed everything up, and perhaps they're right. Either way, wherever you land on the political spectrum, it doesn't really matter. These men are the representatives of God in the way that they serve God's purposes. God has put these men and thousands of others into just the government alone to serve you and protect you. And so we pray for them. We pray that they would do the right thing, that they would say the right thing, that they would enact the right thing, and they often don't. Just like us. We need to love and serve our neighbor in our vocations. We need to be good fathers and good mothers, good sons, good daughters, good wives, good husbands, good teachers, good doctors, good farmers, good pastors, good citizens, good servants, good employees, good employers. We need to do these things. And we mess them up more often than we can count. And when that happens, sometimes we're chastised. Sometimes we're punished. But for the most part, that punishment isn't because the person doing it hates us, right? It's to discipline us, to teach us. That's what discipline means, to teach us, to make us better at our vocation, because we learn not to do it again, and then we serve better into the future. That's all well and good, but we still mess up, don't we? We still have those sins of omission, the things that we fail to do, and those sins of commission, those that we actively engage in, our sins of thought and word and deed, and we still need to have them all covered. And just as our Lord uses Cyrus as a Messiah, one who teaches, one who is used by the Lord, and one who will ultimately enable the worship of the Lord again, our Lord also sent us the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, to cover our sins. Cyrus took God's people into exile to discipline God's people. And so Jesus disciplines us by teaching us all things through the Holy Spirit. Cyrus destroyed the city of Jerusalem and its temple. Jesus prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem and its new temple, and even cleared the temple of all those who would do wrong in God's name. Cyrus would come in and rebuild the temple. And Jesus said when the temple of his body was torn down, he would raise it up, he would rebuild his body after 3 days. Our Jesus is a better Cyrus. He's a better Lord, a better Messiah. And he is used up for us. He was crucified, died, and was buried for us, so that we might worship God in spirit and in truth all of our days. Our Jesus gives us much, and he gives us the strength to even endure under the hardship that the world places upon us, whether that come from emperors and kings or presidents, mayors, whatever it is. It can come even from your friends or your family. God is going to give to you the strength to endure. And he does this in a threefold way. He gives you strength through his word. He gives you strength through his baptism. And he gives you strength through his supper. So how should we be disciplined and taught? By word and sacrament. In these ways, God restores us to himself, just as Cyrus was used to take the people into exile to get them to repent. Jesus is going to use his word and sacrament to continually repent us, to bring us closer to himself, to forgive us all of our sins, and to keep us of everlasting life. Cyrus did not have that power as the Lord's anointed. Only Jesus does. This is what our Lord does. He brings to you his cross through word and sacrament. The anointed Messiah, crucified for you for the forgiveness of all sins, went to the cross so that you would repent, so that you would see your Lord face to face in the resurrection. Cyrus is a type of Jesus. He's showing us Jesus well before Jesus ever came on the scene in the flesh. But Jesus is a better Cyrus. Jesus is the loving God. Jesus is the God who disciplines us, makes us better, repents us through his word and through his sacrament. And Jesus will always be with us, not taking us into exile, but leading us as a shepherd beside the still waters and in the green pastures. He will be our leader, and we will need fear no other. Learn today your Savior Shepherd's voice here at this altar with your brothers and sisters. Today, here, he calls you by your name, just as he called you by your name in the waters of baptism. He is the Lord, and there is no other. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Louis Polzin. I'm glad you've joined us as we've made our way through the scriptures. If you're in the Bemidji, Minnesota area and you're looking for a new church home or just have questions, I encourage you to contact us at Trinity in Bemidji at 218-444-4441. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and always.